This morning we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're reading from Madhyalila, chapter number 11, entitled The Beda Kirtan Pastimes. And today we're reading from text number 32, and then we'll recite number 37 together. Just to recap, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come back to Jagannath Puri. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like a magnet. So when he comes back to Puri, then people hear, and then everyone comes. So they all flock to Puri to see him. So now Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, and now we're hearing Ramananda Rai, they've all come to meet Mahaprabhu. There's one person who really wants to meet Mahaprabhu, but somehow or other, Mahaprabhu is not consenting, and that's Maharaj Prataparudra. But Maharaj Prataparudra has a wonderful relationship with Ramananda Rai. And so Mahaprabhu is telling Ramananda Rai, I know you want me to meet him. I can't meet him. But because you love him, because you're an amazing, wonderful Vaishnav, and because he has love for you and you have love for him, therefore, because of access to you, definitely he will be able to fulfill his heart's desire. So now we're reading these verses. So text number 32. I'll just do the English and then 37 we'll do together. Number 32. Those whose austerity is meager can hardly obtain the service of the pure devotees progressing on the path to the kingdom of Godhead, the Vaikunthas. Pure devotees engage 100% in glorifying the Supreme Lord, who is the Lord of the demigods and the controller of all living entities. Purport. This verse is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 3.7.20. It was spoken by Vidura in his conversation with Maitreya Rishi, a great devotee of the Lord. 33. Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Puri, Gosai, Swarup Damodar Gosai, Lord Nityananda, Jagadananda, Mukunda, and others were present before the Lord at that time. Sri Ramananda Rai therefore offered his obeisances to all the Lord's devotees, in particular to the four spiritual masters. Thus Ramananda Rai suitably met all the devotees. Purport. The four spiritual masters referred to in this verse are Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Bharati, Swarup Damodar, and Lord Nityananda. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu next asked Ramananda Rai, have you already visited the temple of the lotus-eyed Jagannath? Ramananda Rai replied, I shall now go to visit the temple. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, what have you done, my dear Rai? Why did you not first see Lord Jagannath and then come here? Why have you come here first? So text number 37, if you can repeat after me. Raya kohe charanaratha ridaya sarathi. Jahalaya yaya taha yaya jivarathi. Raya kohe charanaratha ridaya sarathi. Jahalaya yahataha yaya jivarati. Raya kohe charanaratha ridaya sarati. Jahalaya yahataha yaya jivarati. Yeah. Mataji's. That's how it's really done. Ulaya kohe. Ramananda Rai replied. Jadana, the legs. Ratha, chariot. Ridaya, the heart. Sarati, chariot driver. Jaha, wherever. Laya, taking. Yaya, goes. Daha, there. Jaya, goes. Jivarati, the living entity on the chariot. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. It's funny how it works in the last few months. I've actually been saying this verse to many people in my conversations. It was funny. And then they sent me the verse, and I'm like, oh my God, I've been saying this verse to so many people, and now Krishna wants me to actually think about it. So it's a very, very beautiful verse, very, very powerful, very, very poignant translation. Ramananda Rai said, the legs are like the chariot, and the heart is like the charioteer. Wherever the heart takes the living entity is obliged to go. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 18:61, Lord Krishna explains, Ishvara sarva-bhutanam riddhe se arjuna tisthati brahmayan sarva-bhutani yantra-rudhani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. Excuse me, my voice is... thus the living entity wanders within this universe riding upon a chariot, the body, bestowed by material nature. A similar explanation is given in the Katha Upanishad 1:3-4. Atmanam ratinam vidhi shariram ratham evatu buddhim tu saratim vidhi mana pragraham evacha indriyani hayanahur vishayam steshu gocharan atmendriya mano yuktam bhoktetyahur manishina. Here it is said that the living entity is the passenger riding in the chariot of the body, which is offered by material nature. The intelligence is the charioteer. The mind constitutes the reins, controlling the horses, and the senses are the horses. Thus the living entity is the false enjoyer of the material world. One who is advanced in Krishna consciousness can control the mind and intelligence, and in this way rein in the horses, the senses, and even though they are very powerful, one who can control the senses by his mind and intelligence can very easily approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead or Vishnu, who is the ultimate goal of life. Tad Vishnu paramam padam sadapasyanti surayaha. Those who are actually advanced approach Lord Vishnu, their ultimate goal. Such people are never captivated by Lord Vishnu's external energy, the material world. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalan Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Shridupam sagrajatam sagana raghunathan vitam dam sajivam sadvaitam savadhutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kipa Sindhu Vya Evacha Atitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, So before I begin, I just request the permission of my seniors, disciples of Srila Prabhupada, and all of you to be able to share something on this verse that I've been telling many others about. Ramananda Rai is moving with his heart. Ramananda Rai has been captured by the Supreme Lord. When Ramananda Rai met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Vidyanagar, he got the embrace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Would you like to be embraced by Mahaprabhu? Ajanu lambita bujo kanakava dato sankirtane kapitaro kamalaya taksho. Mahaprabhu has the longest arms you can imagine. If someone ever stands up and they put their arms down and their arms reach their knees, you can understand Mahapurush. Mahaprabhu's arms reached his knees. Ajanu lambita bujo. And Mahaprabhu was traveling the lands and he was ready to embrace anyone. He was ready to bring anyone into his inner circle. And Mahaprabhu brought Ramananda Rai into his inner circle. Dabutare Prabhu Kore Drida Alingan. It's mentioned that Mahaprabhu looked at Ramananda Rai and Drida with great strength, Alingan, he embraced him. And it said that when he embraced Ramananda Rai, Preme Veshe Prabhu Bhritya Donhe Achetan. When Mahaprabhu embraced Ramananda Rai, then Ramananda Rai just fainted in madness. This embrace of Mahaprabhu to Ramananda Rai is very, very significant. Because Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai, there is a big difference. Because Mahaprabhu is a sannyasi, but Ramananda Rai is a grihastha. Mahaprabhu is a brahmana, but Ramananda Rai is of a lower caste. Mahaprabhu is the leader of society, and Ramananda Rai is a governor he has to work under. Mahaprabhu is God. And Ramananda Rai is just a living entity. But when Mahaprabhu embraces Ramananda Rai, then what Mahaprabhu does is he removes all of that. He removes all of that gap. Because when someone embraces you, it means they're bringing you into their heart. So Mahaprabhu, what he does in that embrace is he removes all of these barriers, all of this distance. But it doesn't stop there. Because then what Mahaprabhu does is he turns it around. And then he puts Ramananda Rai at the top. That's what the Lord does. First, the Lord brings us in. He embraces us. He brings us into his inner circle. And then the Lord becomes subservient to his own devotee. Aham bhakta paradhino yashvantantra ivadvija. So Mahaprabhu, He puts Ramananda Roy up. Kaviraj Goswami beautifully explains it. Sancharya Rama Bhida Bhakti Mege Swa Bhakti Siddhanta Chayamritani Gaurab Direte Ramana Vitirnes Tajgnatva Ratna Layayam Prayati. Very, very beautiful. Kaviraj Goswami says, Sancharya Rama Bhida Bhakti Mege. Ramananda Rai is like a cloud of bhakti. He's like the clouds. Gaurab Diretir Amuna Vitirnes. And Mahaprabhu, he is like an ocean. See, the clouds are above the ocean. But what happens? Sva Bhakti Siddhanta Chayamritani. Sancharya, what the Lord does is he empowers Ramananda Rai and all the jewels of Bhakti Siddhanta, all the truths, the conclusive truths of devotional life. What does the Lord do from the ocean? He allows the clouds to draw from the ocean. And then what does Ramananda Rai do? Tajgnatva ratna layatam prayati. Then that same Ramananda Rai who got all the jewels from the ocean, he showers those same jewels down back onto the ocean because Mahaprabhu is asking him, Age kahoar, say more. Isn't it amazing how the Lord just gives everything? When the water goes from the ocean to the clouds, nobody sees. Nobody sees that. That's an invisible process. But when the cloud showers down onto the ocean, everybody sees. The Lord gives all the credit to his devotee. And so this is very, very beautiful. In that embrace, Mahaprabhu removes all the distinction and then he turns it around and he puts Ramananda Rai up. It's also said that when the Lord embraces Ramananda Rai, then what he does is he takes Ramananda Rai into his heart and Ramananda Rai takes the Lord into his heart. Sadavo ridayam mayam sadunam ridayam tvaham madanyate na jananti naham tebyo managapi. The Lord says, I am in the hearts of my devotees and my devotees are in my heart. Madanyate na jananti. They don't know anything but me and I don't know anything but them. When they embrace, then Ramananda Rai takes Mahaprabhu into his heart. But then later on, Mahaprabhu leaves. And Ramananda Rai is captured, the Lord within his heart. But still he's not satisfied. Because yes, the Lord is in my heart. But I can't see him. I can't speak to him. I can't interact with him. And therefore the separation means the devotee who has taken the Lord into their heart then suffers the same separation because the Lord is in their heart, but they can't interact with the Lord in that form, and therefore they want to pull the Lord out so they can see the Lord. This is known as Sambhoga and Vipralamba. It's said that the ocean of Prema is running across two banks, Sambhoga and Vipralamba. And therefore when Mahaprabhu met Ramananda Rai and they embraced Sambhoga, Ramananda Rai installed the Lord into his heart. But then when the Lord left, then that same Ramananda Rai was in separation because now he was carrying the Lord, but he wanted to see the Lord again. And therefore, Ramananda Rai came. He came to Jagannath Puri to again see the Lord, that person who he was looking for. And when he came to Jagannath Puri, he completely violated the tradition, the culture, the protocol. Because when you come to Jagannath Puri, it's the place of Jagannath. So when you come to Jagannath Puri, you have to see Jagannath first. Just like when you come to the manor, you have to see Radha Gokulananda first. Meetings later. Sorry, Prabhu, you can tell them. I was late for the meeting. I was taking darshan. No one can say anything. You must see the Lord first when you come to the dham. Of course, take darshan first. Ramananda Rai didn't. He came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first. His heart just took him. It wasn't an intellectual thing. No, I will go there. No, he was walking because his heart was leading him. Because Ridaya Sarati, the heart is the charioteer and the leg simply the chariot. And so Ramananda Rai came to see Mahaprabhu because his heart led him there. This is very, very profound. This is very, very beautiful. There's a story that I like to tell people, and it really, for me, it's very, very significant. There was a pilgrim once, and he was going to the Himalayas. So he reached the base camp. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. So this pilgrim, he was going to the Himalayas, so he reached the base camp. The base camp, as you know, is the place from which you prepare to then walk up the Himalayas. So he checked into the hotel, he got all together, all his equipment and his rucksack and everything, ready to go the next morning. So as he woke up the next morning and he came down into the reception, as he looked out of the window, there was a huge snowstorm. There were winds. He looked out of the window, not a soul in sight. There was nobody walking outside. He came to the reception. He handed in his key and he started to walk out of the door. The receptionist shouted to him, said, "Where are you going?" The pilgrim said, "I'm going to climb to the peak of the Himalayas." The receptionist said, "But can't you see there's a snowstorm out there? The weather conditions are terrible. There's not a soul in sight. How do you think you'll get there?" And the pilgrim looked at the receptionist and said, "My heart has already reached the peak. My heart has already reached the peak. And therefore, for my body to reach the peak, it's just a formality. Because the heart must reach the destination first. If the heart has reached the destination, every other thing will be worked out. And perhaps this is, for me, maybe also for you, the biggest problem. That the heart has not yet reached the goal. The heart is still falling short. And therefore, whenever there's any disturbance on the journey, then immediately there's the sense of giving up, there's the sense of dejection, there's the sense of hopelessness. Therefore, the heart must reach first. This is most important." Just like, I remember once, one young boy, he wanted to join the temple. So, you know, there's a team of brahmacharis that are like scouts. They're on the lookout for, you know, potentials. And as soon as we see a spark, it's like fan it like anything, you know. So once this young boy wanted to join. So there was another traveling brahmachari who was with him, like a senior brahmachari who was staying in the ashram with us. So I thought, let's get him in, you know, let's get the heavies in, you know, the real fixed up brahmacharis, he'll preach to him. So we got in a room. So because this brahmachari was senior to me, I thought, let him do all the talking, you know, that's maryad, you should not. So I told him before, "This boy really wants to join, he's a good guy, you know, we should encourage him." So we got into the room, and then this boy said, "I want to join, I'm enthused." And then he said, "But, you know, there's this problem and that problem and my parents and I've got these things that I have to work out." And, you know, I was just waiting for the brahmachari to start getting his rifle out and start shooting down all the arguments. And he was just quiet. So he didn't say anything. Or this person was coming out with all the excuses, and this other senior brahmachari didn't say anything. I had many arguments to give, but he was my senior, so I thought I should not say anything. Anyway, he talked around and round. He didn't really address anything. That boy left. Then I sat with him. And he knew what I was thinking. And he looked at me and he said, "Gacha. Unripe." I said, "What do you mean?" And then he looked at me and he said, "When the mango is ripe, it has to drop. Nobody has to pick it. It has to drop." He said, "Give him some more time. Not ripe yet." He said he was asking the wrong questions. He was asking me, you know, "Can I do it? Can I do it? Can I do it?" He should be coming here telling me, "How will I do it?" He should be coming here telling me, "I must do this. How will I do it?" Because the heart has to reach first. This is what is meant when we say, "Tatra lolyam api mulyam ekalam janma koti sukrater na labhyate." That only when that greed is there, that heart has reached the goal, only then can you actually get there. Another time, someone else wanted to join, I remember. These are all memorable stories. And this time I was with Shri Dharma Prabhu. So we were again meeting him. And Shri Dharma Prabhu, he said, "You come in the room and you just observe. In the future, you will also have to deal with irate parents." So this time he came in with his parents. And you know what parents, you know. "No, no, no, no. Ma bap, very difficult." So his parents were giving all the arguments why he shouldn't do it. And then Shri Dharma Prabhu, he was playing like the mediator. He said, "Okay, they have good arguments. Why do you want to, what do you want to do?" So he said, "No, I want to join. I want to do this. I want to do this." So then Shri Dharma Prabhu, we used to call him Shrewd T, you know, very shrewd. So then he told the boy, he said, step out of the room. So the boy went out, and then Shri Dharma Prabhu, he looked at his parents and he said, "What to do? This boy has gone mad." He says, "Akal nati, he's got to learn. No. This boy has lost his mind." And they're like, "Yeah, I know, like." And then Shri Prabhu looks at them and says, "You better just let us take care of him. Because if we let him out there, this boy, he could do anything. He could go anywhere. He's not in a fit state of mind. He's clearly not thinking properly. Better you just let him come here. We'll take care of him. He's gone mad." Very expert. Krishna Bhakta Bodhachatu, Krishna's devotees are very intelligent. But it was like that. And Shri Dharma Prabhu said, "Yes, this is, you have to," he said, he used to say to me, "You don't have to be mad to join this movement, but it helps." In other words, when one becomes mad, when their heart reaches the destination, when they've become so captivated, enchanted by the prospect of reaching that, then they must go. Therefore, you find all of these devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramananda Rai, is just following his heart. Because Krishna steals your heart. And then when Krishna steals your heart, you're not in control anymore. One commentator says, "I don't want the gopis to be criticized because they went to see Krishna in the nighttime." He said, "But it's okay, they won't be criticized because Krishna's name is Manohar. And the senses, as Prabhupada is saying, are just the servants of the mind. So the gopis cannot be criticized for running to Krishna in the night time because the mind, which is the leader of their senses, has been stolen by Krishna. So it's not them thinking. Krishna has stolen their mind and Krishna has hijacked everything, so they cannot be held responsible that they are running into the dead of night to see Krishna. Therefore, Yes, Krishna must be called Manohar. And the gopis are Manohar Gopika. I don't know. Does that mean the gopis whose mind has been stolen by Krishna? Or is it the gopis who... Which way around it is? Both are true. Yeah, so... The mind has to be stolen by Krishna. The heart has to reach all of the characters. Vraje prasidam navanita chauram. Krishna is a thief. He takes it. He takes everything. Radha. What does Radha mean? Raga. Dhavati. She who is running. Dhavati. After her object of attachment. All the characters, Ramananda Rai, Prataparudra, we're going to learn. Even though Mahaprabhu keeps rejecting him, his heart still makes him run towards Mahaprabhu. Even when Mahaprabhu is rejecting him, Jadi se Mahaprabhur na pai kripadhan, kiba raja kiba deha sabaya karan. He says, Jadi se Mahaprabhu napai kripadan, if Mahaprabhu doesn't give me his mercy, if Mahaprabhu doesn't give me his audience, if Mahaprabhu does not allow me into his circle, kiba rajya, what's the point of my kingdom? Kiba deha, what's the point of my body and all the designations that go with it? Sabaya karan, all of it is absolutely meaningless. He's running. His heart has reached Mahaprabhu. So everything else has become inconsequential. Every obstacle has become irrelevant. He must reach. Never give up. There's no question of giving up. Asha Bandha, hope against hope. Because the question is not, will I reach? Can I reach? It's how will I reach? Raghunath Das Goswami, the same. He had given his heart to Mahaprabhu and therefore he was running away and being captured all the way, but kept running, kept going. Raghunath Das Goswami's mother told his father, why don't you chain him? Chain him at home. His father said, you're mad. He has a wife who's like an apsara and he has opulence like Indra. And that's not holding him back? What do you think iron chains will do? Won't do anything. Because the heart has already reached, therefore the body definitely will reach. So the heart has not reached yet for many of us. Therefore we're seeing so many problems, so many issues. So in Krishna consciousness, what I sometimes tell people is that the first thing that has to move is the hand. If you want to get towards Krishna, then you have to start moving. And the first movement is the movement of the hand. And what I mean by that is that you have to actually start doing something in Krishna consciousness, doing some seva, doing some sadhana. But then the next thing that has to move is your head. We have to actually do it with attention. We have to actually do it with awareness. We actually have to do it with presence. And then when the hand is moving and the head is moving, then we're moving faster. But ultimately the hand may move, the head may move, but until and unless the heart moves, then you can never make up the rest of the distance. Therefore, the biggest challenge and the biggest opportunity of Krishna consciousness is to become absorbed. Krishna consciousness is basically a culture of absorption. Everything that we do, every activity, every arrangement, every event, every experience is just meant and aimed at helping us to become more absorbed in Krishna. And therefore, this is really what the devotees are trying to do. All the shravan and kirtan that we do must lead to absorption. We put shravanam and kirtanam as the ultimate sadhana. But actually, smaranam is actually the goal of a devotee. Because Shastra tells us, smartavya satatam vishnu vishmartavya na jatu chit sarva vidhi nisheda shur eta yor eva kinkara. Everything we do in spiritual life is subservient to the principle of always remembering Krishna and never forgetting him. So that constant remembrance, tannama rupa charitadi sukirtananu smrityo kramena rasana manasini yojya tistan vrajay tadunaragi jananugami kalam nayad akhilamityu padesha saram. That to remember Krishna's name, fame, form, qualities, pastimes, to mentally, at least, if not physically, distan vrajay, always reside in Vrindavan, means that our heart has already reached that destination. Akrura, before he arrived to Vrindavan, he said, my heart had already reached, my mind had already reached. And for us, it's the other way around. We reach Vrindavan, but the mind, the heart is somewhere else. So here Rai Ramananda, he's saying, you're asking me why I came to see you, but you stole my heart. My heart already reached you, so I had to come. So our prayer is somehow or other how to find that absorption, how to place our heart in Vrindavan. I lost my heart in Vrindavan. Sachinanda Maharaj once tells the story that one brahmachari, he received a love letter from a lady. It happens sometimes. So he had given this brahmachari, he was initiated, so he had one of Krishna's names. We'll just call him Krishna Das for anonymity. So he came and he showed Sachinanda Maharaj, oh no, she's writing a love letter to me. So Sachinanda Maharaj also knew the Mataji. So he went back to the Mataji, said, I saw your letter. Oh, you saw my letter. She was so embarrassed. And then Sachinanda Maharaj said, it was a very nice letter. Oh, really? So it can happen. No. He said, it was a very nice letter. But now wherever you've written his name, I want you to replace it with Krishna. I want you to imagine you're writing this letter to Krishna. Give your heart to Krishna. Because if you give your heart to Krishna, then you'll get Krishna. And if you get Krishna, you get everything. Everything you're looking for. So that's the culture of Krishna consciousness, that somehow or other to allow our heart to arrive in Vrindavan. It's very beautiful at the end of Brihat Bhagavatamrita. There's the last chapter, and the last chapter of Brihat Bhagavatamrita is known as Bhakti Rasayana. Very beautiful. Rasayana is very difficult to translate in English, but Rasayana, probably the closest translation, is elixir. What is explained by the acharyas is that just like when you do Ayurvedic medicine, then what they do is they bathe you in oil, they give you all these massages, put you on a really strict diet, and the idea of all of that therapy is to take all the toxins out of your body. But what they do in Ayurveda is after they've taken all the toxins out of your body, then they give you rasayana. Because what happens is now your body has become purified of all the toxins, but it's weak, it's somewhat emaciated, and it needs rejuvenation, it needs revitalization. And so what they do in Ayurveda is they give you rasayana. And what that rasayana does is it rebuilds your whole system again. So in the end of Brihat Bhagavatamrita, there's these verses which are known as the Bhakti Rasayana verses. And the idea is that in Krishna consciousness, what happens is we do a lot of anartha nivritti. We overcome material desires, overcome material attachments, overcome material encumberments and entanglements, overcome all of our material concerns. But then what happens is that after you've done all of that anartha nivritti and you've become somewhat detached from the world, you've lost faith in material happiness, it's not enough. Because it's like the part of Ayurveda where you just take the toxins out. So then in Ayurveda, what they do is they give you rasayana. They revitalize, they reinvigorate, they replenish your body. And so the Bhakti Rasayana verses are all verses which are meditations on Vrindavan. And in those meditations on Vrindavan, the idea is that in Krishna consciousness, after we've become, or along with being detached from the material world and giving up all desires here in the material world, we have to actually become attached to Krishna. We have to actually become attracted. We have to actually become captivated, moved by the idea of being with Krishna. And therefore these Bhakti Rasayana verses, the whole idea is to give the reader a meditation on Vrindavan. And a meditation on how in Vrindavan, everyone is just naturally, their mind is moving towards Krishna. So there's all these beautiful explanations in these verses of various living entities in Vrindavan who are just naturally absorbed in Krishna. Like the peacocks, Sanatana Goswami explains. Hear Krishna's flute, and as soon as they come and hear Krishna's flute, then they run to the forest and they realize, oh, Krishna's calling the gopis. And the peacocks see that Krishna is like an emerald blue. And Srimati Radharani, she's like a lightning yellow. And the peacocks see in the forest that when Srimati Radharani and Krishna come together and they dance in the forest, then the blueness of Krishna and the yellowness of Srimati Radharani combines to make this incredibly effulgent green. And therefore the forest, which is green, begins to pulsate with this incredible greenness. And so the forest is pulsating with this effulgent green of the combined effulgence of Krishna and Srimati Radharani, and they're dancing, and it kind of almost feels as though that green is like a strobe light, you know, like in a nightclub. And the peacocks see Srimati Radharani and Krishna dancing, and then they also begin to dance like anything. Sanatana Goswami explains the clouds. The clouds come into Vrindavan, and he says the clouds are like foreigners, because they're not from Vrindavan, they're from the ocean. But they've come to Vrindavan, and the clouds are kind of in Vrindavan, but they're foreigners. They're kind of looking at Vrindavan, but they're not on the ground in Vrindavan. They're not exactly part of it, but they're looking, they're there. And it said that as the clouds see what's going on in Vrindavan, the pastimes between Krishna and his associates, then the clouds of Vrindavan also desire to render some service. So the clouds then block the midday sun so that it becomes a little cooler. The clouds then also, when Krishna plays his flute, the clouds begin to rumble. And the rumble is like the sound of a bass behind the flute, which adds extra intensity to the sound, which is attracting all the residents. And the clouds, sometimes they see the pastimes of Srimati Radharani, Krishna, and all the gopas, and they become so overwhelmed that they cry. And as the clouds cry, they begin to rain. And sometimes the clouds rain so much in ecstasy that they begin to rain yellow flowers, he says in Briha Bhagavatamrita. And then Sanatana Goswami says, and then the wind comes, and the wind then pushes the clouds and tells the clouds, you're a foreigner, now you have to leave. It's very nice. So the pilgrim to Vrindavan is like the cloud, like coming from outside, being moved by the sight of Vrindavan, there, but not quite there, and then eventually must move on, but leaves the heart there. Sanatana Goswami describes the deer of Vrindavan, that the deer also want to render some service to Krishna, so what they do is they find out what path Krishna is going to come down, and what the deers do is their service is to dust the path. So the deers begin to dust the path, so when Krishna walks down, then it will be very beautiful. But the deers, they also have their own scent, the musk. And so it said that when they dust the ground that Krishna is going to come on, then the ground becomes very, very fragrant. So when Krishna walks, then he has a beautiful path to walk on. And the deers, they have a special service. It's interesting. The service of the deers that gives great pleasure to Krishna, Sanatan Goswami says, is they just look at Krishna. Maybe this is where the English saying doe-eyed comes from. It's said that the deers, they just look at Krishna. You know, like sometimes someone just looks at you and they look with such love. And just when someone looks, it's like it moves you in a different way. So Sanatana Goswami says the deers, their service is just to look at Krishna. Imagine that. Your service all day is just to look at Krishna. Sign me up. It's very nice. So like this, the flute. The gopis look at the flute and they say, you? What qualification do you have to always be touching the nectar of Krishna's lips? What did you do? And then the flute replies and said, I did so many austerities. Really? What did you do? The flute said, the first thing is I left my family, I left my country, I left all my community behind. Why? Because when a bamboo seedlings, the seedlings of the bamboo go into the river and then they float downstream to a completely different place, and then those seedlings take root in a completely different place. So the bamboo said, I renounced everything. I said, okay. And then the bamboo said, and then I stood on one leg for decades. Okay, that's interesting. And then I drank only water. Wow. And then someone came into my life and hacked me down. And then you know what they did? They continuously began dipping me in the river. And then what you know what they did to me? They put me in the sun to dry. I was under the scorching sun for so many years. And then you know what they did? They took me and with a burning hot iron rod, they made 8 holes in me. Gopi's like, okay, you did your time. Okay, we accept. You did your austerities. Yes, the flute, the deer, the clouds. So everyone is absorbed in Krishna. The gopas are absorbed in Krishna. Krishna is wrestling with the cowherd boys. And then, you know, they defeat Krishna. So then they say, Krishna, you're defeated. You have to carry us home on your shoulders. So Krishna is like, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. So the gopas say, no, if you don't do it, if you don't play by the rules, then tomorrow we're not going to play with you anymore. Krishna says, no. They said, but why are you not carrying us then? You have to follow the rules. You have to come with a good explanation why you can't carry us. So Krishna says, I'm the son of Nanda Maharaj. I'm in a special position. They look at Krishna and say, Nanda Maharaj, he just has a few more cows than everyone else. Nothing amazing. That's not a good enough excuse. We are the same. Don't try to escape. Krishna says, no, I can't carry you today. I'm tired. They said, no, you have to come with a better explanation than that. And then Krishna says something he's never said to them before. Krishna says, I'm God. They're like, oh my God, Krishna. You really lost your mind now, you know. You're telling us you're God? He says, no, no, I'm God. I shouldn't have to carry you, I'm God. They said, well, if you're God, prove it. So then Krishna, boom, he just gives a vision. And then all of a sudden, everyone is transported to Vishnu Loka. And there, Krishna sitting on a throne. And the stutis and everyone is offering prayers to him. And the cowherd boys are looking around like, what is this? Who is this? Where are we? And that's Krishna. What's he doing up there? And then they're just bewildered, so they just start singing, Jai Jai Nanda Yashoda Dulal, Girivara Dhari Gopal. And then the Vishnu Duta start looking at the cowherd, was like, well, you guys, why are you singing all these folk songs here? You sing some proper Sanskrit prayers with the proper intonation and everything. This is a proper atmosphere, you know? They're looking around, they can't relate to anything. They say, Gopal, take us back to the planet. Vroom, back to the forest. So Krishna said, see, I told you I'm God. They said, okay, okay, Krishna, you don't have to carry us, it's okay. But tomorrow you have to follow the rules, no? It's very interesting, the very next moment, It's all back to normal again. You follow the rules tomorrow. So this is Vrindavan. The heart has to reach. This is Ramananda Rai. Hridaya Sarati. We have so many excuses why we can't do it. So many impediments, so many obstacles, so many doubts. But once the heart has reached, there's no question. I have to do it. And the only question is, how am I going to do it? Therefore, this is very, very beautiful. Ramananda Rai is teaching us that the heart must reach first. And then the legs are the chariot. Everything else will follow very, very easily. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Srila Prabhupada ki. Okay, if there are any questions or comments, would like to. Yes.
It reminds me of a verse called in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 1861, and it says, "The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, and controlling the wanderings of all the living entities, who are sitting as on a machine." Made of the material energy. And this is, seems to me, you were drawing reference to maybe some of your history there, where at first there was a desire for you to come to Krishna consciousness, but there was parental difficulties. So, certainly, and it's the same, it seems to be for everyone. The Supreme Lord is controlling all our wanderings of our, and somehow I'm here today, a cripple, but somehow still here today, together with the devotees. Somehow, and I don't know where it's going to end. It's a strange situation. But so let's see what happens.
We all come and we become moved in different ways. Sometimes we think to give my heart to Krishna. seems very far away. My spiritual master said something which I always remember. He said, "I don't know how much love I have for Krishna, but I love devotional service." And I always remember that. I think that's a beautiful meditation for the devotees, that if you fall in love with devotional service, if your heart is invested in devotional service, if there's no meaning to your life without devotional service, then you're basically, you're there, you're on the way there. So when we see the great Vaishnavas, I don't want to embarrass Priyojan Prabhu here, but someone who gave their heart to service, someone whose life was service. We had Jivapati Prabhu, who was in the hospital, who gave his life to service, his heart to service. And I think it was Patanjali Muni Prabhu, he told me, maybe the night before or just before Jivapati Prabhu, he went to see Jivapati Prabhu, and Jivapati Prabhu was looking very down. And he said to the devotee, he said, "They told me that there's a possibility I can get out of hospital." So the devotee thought, "That's great news. Why are you so down?" And then he looked at them and he said, "But they told me if I come out of hospital, I'd never be able to do my service." And then Jivapati Prabhu looked at the devotee and he said, "If I can't do my service, what's the meaning to my life?" And then that was it. End of conversation. You know, what do you say after that? And the next day, or maybe he left his body. So someone just gave their life to service. They invested their heart there. So sometimes we may feel, how do I give my heart to Krishna? It seems so far away, my heart is so divided in so many things. But if we can learn to love devotional service, I think for me, one of the things I appreciate most about being at the manor is how many incredible devotees I witnessed who just gave their heart to devotional service. It's really an incredible, it's a living theology, really amazing. And it's a great example. So here we talk about how the Ramananda Rai is just moving. The devotees can't live without service. Service is what makes their life meaningful. I remember when Janakinath Prabhu was very sick, then it was literally his last few weeks, so he was having Zoom calls. And you know, naturally devotees were expressing their appreciation for him. So he would just sit there on the Zoom call and he would listen to them. It was the last time they were going to see him. And then I remember after one Zoom call, it was late at night, the devotees, I think it was in GEV where he had spent some time, they were all sharing such appreciation for him. And then the Zoom call ended and he looked at me and he said, "I'm enjoying hearing myself being glorified." Because is it bad? And then I didn't answer, and then he answered his own question. He said, "Is it bad?" And he said, "It's not bad, because when I hear their appreciation of me and I see that I was able to do something meaningful in their life, then it gives me the faith that my life was meaningful. It's not that I want to be glorified, but it gives me great satisfaction to know that I could do something for someone, that I could do some service. Because without service, what is the meaning of life? There's no meaning to life." So that was a very profound realization. So yeah. To invest our heart in devotional service. So Mataji is asking, how do you overcome the obstacles? again, it's the same point I'm making. That when you want to do something, when your heart has reached, then Krishna will give you all the intelligence. You'll find a way to do it. Where there's a will, there's a relative. No, I'm not joking. Where there's a will, there's a way. So oftentimes we ask questions. See, again, I think it's the wrong question. But you understand what I'm saying? It's like I'm going to find it. I have to find it. There's no way I can't find it. It's just a matter of now. You see, there's a shift that you make at a certain point where the doubt has gone. This is what we call hope against hope. This is Rupa Goswami says, I have a hope against hope. He says, in one sense, I don't have any hope that how will I reach this amazing goal? But in another sense, I know that this goal is so amazing, I have no reason to think I'm going to make it there. But because it's so amazing and because it's captured my heart, it has to happen. And therefore, I have a hope against hope. So there's plenty of help. Maya mugdha jivara nahi swata Krishna gyan. What's the second line to that verse? Swata Krishna gyan. Jivare kripaya koile Krishna veda puran. So the living entities are confused. They have no idea. How am I going to make it through this forest of material enjoyment? Kam, krodh, lobe, all the enemies. Therefore, jivare kripaya, to give the mercy to the living entities. Krishna veda puran. Krishna gave you the Vedas, the Puranas. Purar narko dhuno dhita. Someone was telling me the other day, I got married 3 times. And I had known him for a long time. So I said, 3 years? I thought only 2 times. It didn't work out. I said, this is a revelation. You're adding more. A few more skeletons in the closet. He said, first 2 marriages failed. 3rd time I got married to the Bhagavatam. Madaika bandhu mad sangin mad guru man mahadhana man nishtaraka mad bhagya mad ananda namostate. So if you keep the Bhagavatam close, yasyam vai shriyamanayam, constantly absorbing your mind in the Bhagavatam, shoka moha bhaya paha, all lamentation, all fear, all illusion dissipated. Sounds good. Let's do it. That's the idea. It's possible. Everything is there. The acharyas have equipped us. Okay. There's a note here telling me to leave. All right, I think we should end here. This is just an announcement that our Radhishakti Mataji, long-time resident of Bhaktivedanta Manor, her mother has left her body, unfortunately. So we request all of you to pray for her, offer your blessings and your good wishes, and there will be a kirtan at 7:30 this evening in the temple room for her onward journey. Thank you very much. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.